Testament book of Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading and preaching from verses 17 through 21. The title of the message today is that I have found the secret. Now, as we work our way through this, you'll find it's really no secret at all, but it's that which we fail to appropriate and apply in our life. It's that of the Spirit-filled life. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 17 through verse 21. Though Paul is the human author, of course we know that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit is ultimately the author of this book. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that word inspiration means it's God-breathed. That means as we read Scripture, we're reading the very breath of God. It's all inspired. Now, may some parts may be more inspiring than others. For instance, I get more inspired reading the book of Luke than I do the book of Leviticus. But nonetheless, it is both of those are inspired. So we're reading and preaching from the inspired Word of God. I believe it from Genesis 1:1 to Maps. I believe those words are genuine letter. It may very well be inspired of the Lord. But I don't understand it all, but I do stand upon it all. We find these words from the Word of God. Paul says this, he says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, if we stop right there, our spiritual antenna ought to go real high. Because the Lord's about to tell us what His will is for our lives. And He says this, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I understand that the Holy Spirit, that He lives in me. But Lord, I pray that He'd be upon me in these next few moments as I unpack this passage of Scripture. Lord, I know that I can share truth, but it's only the Spirit of God that can seal truths in hearts today. I pray that You would stir in our hearts to a point of, Lord, that Father, we leave this place with total abandonment, obedience to your word today. We tell you we love you, bless you, and praise you, because we ask this in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. In October of 1979, I was attending a revival service at the church Joyce and I were a member of, the Birchman Avenue Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. We were out in Texas because I was in seminary there at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Brother Jackie is where I first met Brother Jackie out there at Southwestern. But I was sitting there and our church was having revival. And a very popular preacher of that day, Dr. Jack Taylor, was preaching. Jack Taylor is with the Lord now, but he preached on a subject that never gripped my heart. I guess I had heard it, but it had not resonated in my heart. Now, I'd been saved for 3.5 years. I had been licensed to preach. I had been ordained to preach. I had preached sermons. I had gone to Bible college for 2 years. I had had almost 1.5 years in master's work at seminary. Joyce and I had just gotten back that past August from spending the summer in the state of Washington doing summer missions. So we were acquainted and familiar with the things of the Word of God. But he preached that night on the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that gripped my heart. And from that day forward, not always been the best example, but I've strived to live day in and day out walking in the Holy Spirit. Now, I've entitled this, I Found the Secret, and I really got that from Raymond Edmond, who was the fourth president of Wheaton College there up in the Chicago, Illinois area. And he wrote a little book entitled this, They Found the Secret. Got it in my library, took my staff through it when I was there in Batesville. And it's about 20 well-known Christians, George Mueller, Hudson Taylor, those men of yesteryear that really shook wherever they served with the Lord, for the Lord. But all of these, in all of these stories, it told about an experience in their life in which God totally and completely got a hold of their life. Well, as I read every one of those stories, I was reminded that almost without exception, they begin to understand the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who came into your life at the time of salvation, He doesn't come in the installment plan where you get a little here and a little there. I mean, friend, when you got saved, you got it all. My problem is not me getting more of God. My issue is God getting more of me. And so the Holy Spirit who lives in our life desires to control our life. Well, as I read those stories of those different ones, I came to understand what they found they already had. And they just, as you and I need to do, appropriate and apply what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember when Moses, when God said, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and Moses had all these excuses, you know, they won't believe me, they don't, you know, Lord, what do I tell them your name is? And he said, well, just tell them I am sent you. And, you know, God could have chosen any name. He said, I am. And then he says, well, when I go there, they're not going to believe me. And he had a rod. He had the rod of God. He said, what's that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. He said, throw it down. And see, what he was telling him is what you need, you already have. And that's the truth. That's the truth I've still been learning in my Christian life. What I need, I have in Christ because I'm complete in Jesus Christ. So, as we look today on this subject of the filling of the Holy Spirit, my prayer is, if you were like me back in those same 3.5 years, and yet it had not gripped our heart, I pray that God would grip your heart this morning as we look at the filling of the Holy Spirit. Three things very quickly that we're going to build our thoughts around this morning. First of all, I want to remind you that the filling of the Holy Spirit is a command of Scripture. It's a command of Scripture. Now, we find some commands in verses 15, 16, and 17. If you back up, for instance, he tells us, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. That word circumspectly is a word that means that we're to walk carefully. He says in verse 16, he says to redeem the time because the days are evil. That word redeem is a word that means to buy back. You remember, some of you remember like me, that you remember when you go to the grocery store and you get stamps? I mean, they may cheat you in your change, but they better not cheat you in your stamps. You would go home and take those stamps, lick the back of them, put them in a book, and once you got about 20 books, you'd go to it was called the S&H Redemption Center. And you would go back there, and you'd turn in all those books, and you might get a toaster or something like that. Well, what you were doing is you were buying back.
And the Bible says, redeem the time. Buy back. Make the most of every opportunity.
He gives us another command in verse 17. He says, therefore, do not be unwise. And so what he's saying is, use the wisdom that I have given unto you. Those are all commands. But here's another command in verse 18. He said, don't be drunk with wine. Now, we as Baptists, we kind of hone in on that. But he says, be filled with the Spirit. I went to my cardiologist he had saw me in the hospital. I'd had an issue. They did a heart cath. This was back in 21. And everything checked out pretty good.
So he came in. So when I had my checkup with him, he asked me, he said,
you're a Baptist preacher. I said, yes, sir. He said, what kind of Baptist are you? I knew where he was going with that. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, what do y'all think about drinking? I said, this is what I teach my people. You know, Paul said to take a little wine for your stomach, say. I said, I teach my people this. If your doctor's not Paul, and your name's not Timothy, you don't have stomach issues, leave it alone. He said, okay. He said, but we honed in on that. But the command in the latter part is be filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard one of my heroes in the faith, Dr. Adrian Rogers, say this, and I agree with him. He said this. He said it would be just as much of a sin for me to try to preach without the filling of the Holy Spirit as it would be to stand up here under the influence of beverage alcohol. That's how serious this is. Now, if you remember your English lessons, that little phrase, be filled, is what is called an imperative mood verb. What that means is God is issuing forth a command in this passage of Scripture. He's not saying, now this is optional equipment. He's not saying, you may, it's like that seminar that I teach from time to time on child raising. I've entitled, here's some things that may or may not work, you know. I mean, that's not what he's saying. I mean, he is saying, this is my command for your life as a believer, that you be filled with the Spirit. You see, to disobey that command is to commit two sins. Number one, it is to commit the sin of commission. Now, you know what commission is. The sins of commission are us doing those things that we should not do. And what is happening, if we're doing those things we should not do, those sins, then we're walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. But there are also sins of omission. Now, sins of omission is a failure to do what we should have done. That's why James says, he that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So this is not a take it or leave it. It is that of a command of Scripture. Billy Graham was preaching a crusade in a Midwestern city years ago. And there was a man, a well-to-do man, that had invited the revival team one night after the service to come to his house for a meal. Well, as the meal was being prepared, this man leaned over to Dr. Graham and said, Dr. Graham, he said, we had a very sad experience in our church. He said, we had to dismiss a leader in our church. We had to dismiss him from our fellowship. Billy Graham said, why did you do that? He said, well, he said, he came to church drunk. Billy Graham said, well, what do you do in discipline to those members who come to church without the filling of the Holy Spirit? And said, I don't know where you get it. He said, the same verse that tells us not to be drunk with wine is the same verse that tells us that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, God has given us a command. But not only is it a command of Scripture that I be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me, who has sealed me into that day of redemption, who has baptized me when I came into a relationship with Christ, desires to control my life. It's a command of Scripture. Second, it is a command to be controlled. You know, we don't like to be around controlling people. But you don't have to fear being controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always going to lead you in that which is right. The Holy Spirit, He is always going to do that which is good and honorable and beneficial in your life. Matter of fact, that word filled in the original is a word that means to be filled to the full. Think of it like this. It's a word that just simply means to be controlled. When I was in Texas, I'd stop and get gas. You remember a service station where they actually put gas in your automobile. And I'd always notice above the door of that service station, there was the man's name, and it said under it, owner and operator. That's what the Holy Spirit desires to be in our life. He's the owner of our life. You are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and blemish. He's the owner of your life. But friend, He's also the operator of your life. And so, when Paul is telling us, do not be drunk with wine, which is excess, but he's saying be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's saying be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Before I left the house this morning, got a glove. Joyce said, why don't you get a better glove than that? I said, I want them to think I'm a working man. But you know, this glove is the most obstinate glove I've ever had. I mean, I can ask that glove to do something, and it won't do it. I can ask that glove to shake my hand, and it just sits there. I can ask that glove to give me a high five or to give me a fist bump, and it won't do anything. It's like that 75-pound Great Pyrenees dog that I've got at the house. I mean, just stubborn. It won't do anything. But you know, something changes when this hand goes in this glove. You see, this glove then will do anything this hand desires for it to do. Can I remind you, this is you and I. We're nothing but an old glove. And the Holy Spirit is the hand which is in that glove. It desires to control, to lead, direct our lives. So every morning, just get up and say, Lord, I'm just an old glove reporting for service. And I want you to use me today. Holy Spirit, fill, control my life. You see, when Paul says, don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, he's using a contrast, but he's also using a comparison. Some of you may know the name Herb Hodges. Herb pastored Cherokee for a number of years over on Quince. Herb Hodges, great, great discipler of me. Herb Hodges went to be with the Lord back in 2018 and wrote an excellent book on the Holy Spirit. And he said this, if you'll give me just a couple of moments to read what he said, because I think it so sums up when he talks about the contrast. He says two stimulants are mentioned in this text. One is superficial, which is ingested from the outside. The other is a supernatural stimulant, which is resident within. One is diabolical, while the other is divine.
Alcohol makes a man less of a man, not more. The Holy Spirit makes a man more of a man, not less. To be drunk with alcohol tends to make a man totally irresponsible. But being filled with the Spirit causes a believer to act responsibly in all matters. Being drunk with alcohol is disabling. To be filled with the Spirit is enabling. To be drunk with alcohol is to be devil intoxicated. To be filled with the Spirit is to be divinely intoxicated. So there is a contrast, but there's also a comparison. For instance, someone controlled by alcohol speaks differently. I mean, their speech is slurred. I mean, the filter just goes out the window. I mean, if you really want to know what they think about you, they'll tell you when they get alcohol in them. While a Christian under the control of the Holy Spirit is going to speak differently. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto its hearers." Now, friend, listen, when your life and my life is under the daily control of the Holy Spirit, we're going to speak differently. Next time some brother or sister in the Lord goes off on you, maybe you just need to ask them, is the Holy Spirit leading you to say this? Are you walking in the Spirit? You see, someone controlled by alcohol speaks differently. Someone controlled by the Holy Spirit speaks differently. Not only that, someone controlled by alcohol, they smell different. You can smell it. I mean, and then it just begins to ooze out of their pores. But you know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 15 about someone that's filled with the Spirit, and we're to God the fragrance of Christ. Their personality is altered. I mean, they may be quiet normally. They may be reserved. They get under the control of beverage alcohol. They want to fight everybody. I mean, it just totally changes them. Someone under the control of the Holy Spirit exhibits the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I told my wife not too long ago, I said, you know, the older I get, I said, you know, I find myself being less patient. When I said that, the Holy Spirit said, in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. You see, I can't use my age. I can't use the way I was raised to excuse sin in my life. And so the Holy Spirit, He changes. He takes control of your personality. Your motor skills are affected. Somebody under the influence of alcohol affects how they drive, how they walk. I remember preaching. Was in one church I served. I had shared with a church that I was preaching. They was in one of these revivals, church out in the county, where they have a different preacher every night. So I was preaching on the Tuesday night. So I was driving out there to the church, and highway patrol had got behind. Well, those lights come on. I thought, what in the world did I do? Well, it was a highway patrolman that was in the church. He walks up to the window. I said, Ronnie, what did I do? He said, oh, you didn't do nothing. He said, Sunday you was preaching. I just wanted you to know I prayed for you. And you know, all these cars are passing by, and they're looking. And I said, well, I said, do you want me to get out and walk the line? I mean, you know. It changes one's motor skills. The filling of the Spirit enables us to walk in the Spirit. And then the Bible say that the flesh wars against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another. Their reasoning ability is affected. Have you ever tried to reason with someone under the influence of beverage alcohol? You see, the Bible says, it says, come let us reason together, says the Lord. When I'm walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the Holy Spirit,
My life is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Your life is under the control of the Holy Spirit. There becomes a oneness in spirit. It's a command of Scripture. It's a command to be controlled. But it's also a command to be continually controlled. Think back with me. English lesson. We saw, first of all, an imperative mood verb, which means that it's a command. But this little phrase, be filled, is present tense. Present tense means continuous action. Doesn't mean that I'm to be filled with the Spirit only when I'm in church. But you know, when you get up on Old Blue Monday and go back to work, then things, you know, then it's all off the table. No. Day in, day out. Day in, day out. Good times, bad times. Good circumstances, bad circumstances. Wherever you may find yourself, we're to be under, on a continuous basis, that of the filling of the Holy Spirit. A literal rendering of this phrase when he says, but be filled with the Spirit, a literal rendering is be ye being filled. Be ye being filled. Continue day in, day out to be filled with the Spirit. First thing I do in the mornings, I've got upstairs, got my hideaway, you know, and I've got my Bible there, and got my prayer notebook, my devotional material. Well, first thing I do is get a cup of coffee. If you don't drink coffee, I don't know how you read your Bible, but hey, that's just me. It's just me, okay? And I get up there, and before I open Scripture, before I read any devotional material, before I begin to work through my prayer list, I get empty before the Lord. And I say, Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. As I can't understand this blessed book apart from the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't know what to pray. As the Bible says in Romans 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession. And I say, Holy Spirit, I want you to pray with me, pray through me. And when I don't even know what to pray, I want you to take over totally and make intercession. And then I say, Lord, fill me. I want to be empty of sin, empty of self, and I want to be filled with you. I want to, throughout the day, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's one baptism, many fillings. Your baptism in the Holy Spirit is when you got saved. When the Spirit of God placed you in the body of Christ. Because when you were born in Adam. You see, in Adam, all died. You see, I was born with a propensity to sin. I was born a sinner by nature, a sinner by choice, and a sinner by practice. I came by it honestly. I got it from my daddy. My daddy got it from his daddy. It could be traced all the way back to Adam. And so when I was lost, I was in Adam. But when I got saved, I was taken out of Adam. And I was placed, I was immersed. I was put in the body of Christ. That was my baptism. You see, all throughout the rest of my life, I've had many feelings. Oftentimes throughout the day, Lord, I thought what I shouldn't have thought. Lord, I said what I should have said. Lord, I didn't witness to that person. I didn't give that person a track like I should have. I didn't have a track with me. And Lord, forgive me being insensitive and just fill me with the Holy Spirit. It's a command of Scripture. It's a command to be controlled. It's a command to be continually controlled. Now, I got on your listening sheet four reminders about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And four, you know, I don't want to just reduce it to a list, but I'm kind of pragmatic and how I think. And, but here are some reminders in walking in the Spirit. Number one, remember God's plan for your life. Remember, God's got a plan for your life. He saved you. He wants to use you. And to the extent that we're used by the Lord is in direct proportion to our usability. So, God wants to use you. We're either walking in the flesh or we're walking in the Spirit. For the Bible says there's a continual battle, and that'll last until the day you die. Flesh will war against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And here's when you and I are walking in the flesh and not the Spirit. Here's the results of the flesh life. He says in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are all marks of the flesh. Remember, God's got a plan for you. God wants you to walk in the Spirit. God wants you to show up. Number two, repent of every known sin. Now, the Bible says if we confess our sin, 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Now, that word confess is a word that means to say the same thing as. It means that I call sin what God calls sin. I call it wickedness. I call it evil. I call it perversion. And I confess that, which means I repent of that, which means I'm saying the same thing, but I'm turning away from that sin. You know, there is a first cousin of 1 John 1 and verse 9. It's Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 28 and verse 13. It says, he who covers his sin shall not prosper. But whoever, this is King James, whoever confesseth and forsakes it shall obtain mercy. You say, well, I've been confessing that. Are you forsaking? Are you turning away from it? And so, the blood of Jesus Christ has never cleansed an excuse. Lord, I know, but you just, that's not repentance. Confess, repent of every known sin. Number three, just receive this filling. Just receive this filling. I pray something like this. Father, I confess every known sin. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm empty before you. I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And sensitize my heart that I might be throughout the day empty of sin and full of you. And I just, as an act of faith, Lord, thank you for filling me. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is controlling my life. And then number four, resist the devil. Resist the devil. The Bible says this in James 4 and verse 7. Gives us a wonderful promise. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, keep it in its right order. It says, submit to God. Then he says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And he's not going to flee from a rebellious life. You bring yourself under the submission of the Lordship of Christ. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, resisting steadfast in the faith. You know, when Satan begins to bombard your mind with fear, worry, lust, anger, among all those attacks, simply claim the authority that is ours in Jesus. To stand in Jesus' name and to resist. You know, God, you read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses about 26 through the remaining part of that chapter. Talks about those that God delights in using. And friend, when I realize that I'm nothing more than an old glove that is unable, because doesn't the Bible say without Him we do nothing? You say, no, wait a minute, preacher, I can do this. But anything that we do without Him comes to nothing. Lord, without You, I can do nothing. And here I am, I'm just an old glove. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit be the hand to put on my life, to guide my life, to protect my life, because I want to walk in the Spirit. That is one of the most important truths I've learned as a believer. I want you to bow your heads down, if you would please. You've been so